Okay, so it is my pleasure to welcome today's speakers. We have Dr. George Boggs, who is the co-principal investigator for the CCPI STEM initiative. We also have Dr. Ashok Agrawal, who is the coordinator of the SIPPI STEM Fellows Program. And we're really honored to have three of our six fellows on with us today to have a conversation about their experiences. We have Bethany Sansing Hilton, who is chair of the math department at Madison Area Technical College in Wisconsin. We have Buffy Quinn, who is a GIS faculty in upstate New York at Onondaga Community College. And we have Michael Silva, a biology faculty at Solano Community College in California. And again, my name is Dr. Elizabeth Hawthorne, and I'm Senior Professor Emerita of Computer Science and Cybersecurity at Union College in New Jersey. And I'm also a co-PI on this initiative. So today we're going to cover essentially three broad topics. Where Dr. Boggs is going to introduce the initiative. Dr. Agrawal will talk more details about the Fellows Program. And we have the links there if you're interested in visiting our website. And then I'll be moderating a conversation with the three fellows, Bethany, Buffy, and Michael. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Boggs.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hawthorne, and welcome everyone. It's still morning here in California, but I know it's afternoon in some parts of the country. I'm pleased to talk a little bit about our very comprehensive initiative. I think most of you know that the country's facing a significant projected shortage of the STEM technical workforce. And in fact, we have an obligation to bring greater diversity to that workforce. So the ideal institutions to do that, of course, are America's community colleges with the most diverse student body in American higher education, and the colleges that are most connected to their communities and local businesses. So we have a very comprehensive initiative, and I invite you to take a look at the website that Dr. Hawthorne mentioned that points out the components, and I'll talk briefly about the major components of our initiative here. The first is that we've divided the country into regions, into regional networks that promote bringing greater visibility to the STEM workforce education programs and to encourage partnerships between our institutions and the local business and industry. So there are a number of activities going on regionally throughout the country. You can follow some of that on our website. A second major component is we are developing instructional modules for inclusion into community college leadership programs, graduate programs, and leadership institutes, hoping to educate our future leaders of the importance of grant funding and the importance of these STEM education, technical education programs. And the other major component that we're really focusing on today is our STEM Fellows Program, where we are actually supporting some of our own excellent faculty and administrators who are doing research in STEM education and workforce issues. And we're pleased to have some of them with us today. But to tell us a lot more about the STEM Fellows Program, I'm going to turn it over to our coordinator, Dr. Agrawal.
Thank you, Dr. Boggs. Good morning, everyone. As we continue this conversation about the Fellows Program, we'll appreciate if in the chat, when you write your name and so on, also you may want to mention, is it something that will be of interest to you? Are you joining this webcast to gather more information so that you can participate in the Fellows Program? Or are you looking at this information for one of your colleagues and so on? Because that will help us understand the kind of information we need to share with everyone in the future. The slide in front of you essentially lists the topics that I'll be talking about over the next 7 to 8 minutes. I'll briefly mention about the objective of the Fellows Program, what we want to accomplish, eligibility criteria, which comes with all applications of this sort, And of course, some of you are interested in it. You will be interested in knowing what the activities, expectations, and honorarium are if you do get involved in that. And also, most importantly, what is the application process, what the timeline is, and so on. And as Dr. Hawthorne mentioned earlier, we have three of the six fellows with us this afternoon, and you'll get a chance to listen to them, their interest, why they joined the program, and things of that sort. And lastly, we'll mention another component within the Fellows Program, which is a Fellows Mentoring Program. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and share with you also in a next slide that will come up. We'll talk about the Fellows and their mentors. So Beth, next slide, please. So in terms of the objectives of the Fellows Program, essentially we are looking at is designed to provide recognition and support. And I want to highlight those two words. We want to recognize individuals who are engaged in community college doctoral and master's program and who have interest in getting involved in leadership activities at community colleges. And we also want to find ways to support their active pursuit of higher education and advanced degrees and get them ready for the community college leadership. When we talk about that, some of you may already be at various roles of deans, department chairs, and so on, but it definitely always helps to have some more preparation and some more readiness for that. And as Dr. Boggs mentioned earlier, we are also very interested in individuals who will be interested in National Science Foundation ATE program. So essentially our objective from the Fellows Program is to provide leadership and support to community college faculty who are interested in workforce-related issues with STEM, technologies and the skills in preparing graduate students for a career in in advanced technological education program. And one of the expectations and objectives is that you will also become future leader and advocate of STEM and NSF ATE program, because it's very important. This program at NSF ATE was started in 1993 with a very small budget at that time. I believe, Dr. Bagh, you may remember more accurately than I do. I believe the budget used to be around $10 million or something. I was a program officer in 1995, and the budget for that program was only $13 million. And because of the Congress interest in workforce and STEM and so on, every year this program continues to receive additional funding and additional support. For example, this year, we just heard yesterday from Dr. Celeste Carter, the program has $73 million of budget this year, and they expect, of course, everything depends on what Congress approves and doesn't approve, but they expect that budget will go as much as twice of $73 million. So it's very important for community colleges and community college leaders to be engaged and to show that there's a need, but we are also ready and prepared to participate and engage in this ATE, in workforce development activity. So that's sort of our broader objective. And again, we want to emphasize that a bit. The criteria, how do you get engaged in this? How do you involve that? So what you see in front of you are the listed criteria for application. Application process is very simple, and we'll go through that in a minute. But essentially, we're looking for, first of all, because it's a federal grant-funded activities, individuals must be U.S. citizens or a permanent resident of U.S. So that's something, it's a federal requirement, not something that we impose or we require on our own. Then we are looking for individuals who have community college teaching and or administrative experience, because it always helps to, you know, when you're preparing leaders to come from the ranks of the community colleges. However, we also recognize that there are individuals who are working in business and industry are also engaged in workforce development. So starting this year, we have expanded the program to include individuals and businesses who are working in business and industry or nonprofit organization and have interest in being engaged down the road in community college leadership activities. So that's something has been added this year, which was not the requirement or eligibility criteria next year. The other aspect of it, which is almost an implied, that because it's a fellows program for graduate level, you must be enrolled or at least plan to start or have a commitment to start in the fall of 2023 in a master's or doctoral degree program, which is focused on, as Dr. Boggs mentioned, in STEM education and workforce development. That is the focus of this program. That is the focus of ATE program at NSF, and it continues on in that way. And also, you know, it's one thing to do all the coursework and do all the activities, but it's also important to have in support of mentors, because we all learn from each other. So we provide mentors for you as a part of the fellows program, which is a very critical aspect of that. And some of the fellows who are here with us this morning or this afternoon, they may mention of what they have seen from their mentors in a very short time over the last 3 or 4 months that they have been engaged with this program. So I think having a mentee commitment to become a mentee of an administrator and initiative leader is also very important for that. Next slide, please. So I mentioned earlier about, you know, you all know there has to be some activities and expectations and honorarium. So in terms of activities and honor and expectation, one thing good about this program that we do not have any specified list of things you must do. We do not have any list of workshops and meetings you must attend or so many hours of coursework you must take. It is a gradual continuum of engagement in professional activities. And we are looking for that type of commitment, that type of long-standing interest in being engaged in STEM programs. So the points that I want to emphasize here, that individuals must demonstrate interest and commitment to community college education and workforce development. And keep in mind, we always keep talking about education and workforce. These go hand in hand. We want you to be engaged in educational activities, but something that's focused toward workforce development, because that is the main emphasis or primary emphasis of ATE program. And how do you do that? You do that by your professional activity that you may engage in, by various workshops that you attend or you organize, or meetings that you attend, or community activities that you may participate in with your local school district, with your business industry partners, and so on. So there are many ways to engage in those kind of professional activities. And essentially, the idea is that those activities will prepare you to become future leaders and enroll in community colleges, because that's the intent of this fellow program, is to prepare you for future leadership. Also, in terms of expectations, again, as I mentioned, we do not have any prescribed requirement, but we expect you to participate in professional dialogue, professional conversation, by presenting your research findings and presenting your research and results in educational scholarly activities and scholarly in conversation. And lastly, you also should act as an ambassador and a champion of ATE program and mentor other colleagues. We all learn from each other, as I mentioned. So our expectation is that you will also mentor your colleagues, your junior colleagues at your institution or in other settings that you may come across. Next slide, please. So next, of course, is how do you apply for this? And one thing we have done this year, we have simplified the application process significantly, because we heard from our fellows last year, the application process, some individuals found it rather cumbersome. So we have made it a two-step process based on the input we received. The first step process is very simple, and we'll go through that in a minute. Essentially, the deadline for that is July 15th, and this link that you see there will take you there. The requirements are, just 1 second. In terms of eligibility, it's all we need from you in this, which you'll see that in a few minutes. Your contact information, which is essentially your mailing address and so on. Citizenship information, which I mentioned earlier, that is the requirement of NSF, is being a permanent resident and U.S. citizen. demographic information, which is again pretty standard federal demographic information that's collected. We do want to know your academic and work background and your proposed degree program and the statement on why you want to be considered for the CCPI STEM Fellows Program. One thing I would highlight and emphasize is these last three bullets: academic work background, proposed graduate degree program, and statement of why you want to be considered for CCPI STEM Fellows Program is very critical. And you want to pay special attention to how much detailed information you can provide within the scope of the limit of words that we require, because that is how the reviewers will look at your application and will decide whether you move on to step two of the application process or not. So I think it's very critical that you communicate why you are the right candidate, right person to be considered for step two. And that's something you want to mention that as elaborate, as clearly as possible. Next slide, please. And then finally, the step two again is more involved, is a full application for that is September 1. It's in essentially in this case, we're looking for your complete CV and resume, statement of activities and actions that support and expand DEI in STEM. And again, these are the statements that you see here, statements on DEI, statements on leadership are the things that will make impact on reviewers to see whether you are the right candidate for Fellows Program or not. And I think that's something really you want to emphasize on that. We definitely want a letter of support. We want to make sure that your institution is willing to support you in this fellow program. That support could come in many different ways. And lastly, we need letters of references for your personal, professional friends and colleagues and so on.
Would you like to go to the application now?
Yes, please. Let's do that quickly if we can. So what you have in front of you is the step one application process. Step two is not online yet because still there's a time. And essentially, it's very simple as you look at it. You see the contact information, which is your name and mailing address and information that is what we would call a directory information, so on, address and things of that sort. Then the demographic information, we essentially need your citizenship information, gender information, and these are drop-down menu that you can click on that and essentially, should not take too much time. Race and ethnicity, again, you just simply, it's a typical federal classification. If you do not wish, you don't have to answer that question. Then we look for your current and work affiliation. We want to find out what's your department you are, what is your rank, and so on. And here I want to emphasize your academic position. You will find categories that will, for example, in student affairs. Now you may have many other titles, and of course we cannot list all that. So we have simply listed the other as a category that should catch all for any area that doesn't quite fit into what we have highlighted. And also if you are a non-academic, you will see that when you click on other, it will come up with a way to describe what other academic or non-academic position you have. Thank you, Beth. So that kind of, and last, if you move further, you'll see graduate study plan. And this is where we need your information about what the name of institution, what doctoral degree program that you are involved in, and details of that type, expected date of graduation. And finally, your applicant statement, what I mentioned earlier is why do you want to be considered for CCPI STEM Fellow candidate? And these are 300 words. You want to make sure that you truly communicate in a strong way why you make a good candidate for this position. So that's a very simple, I think if you prepared ahead of time, it should not take you more than half an hour, if that much. And you can copy and paste, you can create your Word document and just copy and paste on there. Okay, any questions? We'll come back to some questions later on. Thank you, Beth. What you see in front of you now are the six fellows who were selected in December of 2022. And you will get a chance to meet with three of the fellows this afternoon. And as you see, it's a very diverse title and role and engagement and institution and state and so on. So it wasn't designed as such that we must have, but we had very strong candidates, and these six strong candidates surfaced right on top. And you see them, their name and their title and their institutions mentioned here. We have four faculty members, one vice president of workforce, and a dean of sciences. So we have a broad spectrum of roles of faculty and administration that are represented in the fellows program. Can you move on? And of course, you see their images. They're all smiling and happy. And again, we'll meet three of them just now, okay? And I mentioned earlier about our mentor program. So we have five distinguished former educators and current administrators who are serving as their mentors. Dr. Marsha Pfeiffer, she is, aside from being a retired president from St. Louis Community College, she is an ATD coach. Dr. Deborah Bragg, she is a renowned researcher. Dr. Sunita Cook, she's a president at a college in California. Dr. Avis Proctor, she's also a president at a college. And Dr. Mary Oistry, she is retired provost from Ivy Tech Institution. So we have, across the country, very well covered different people with good background and solid examples of leadership that you will come across and meet. And I believe at least one of the fellow who's here, she can talk about her engagement with the mentee if you do ask that question. Okay. Next. So at this point, Beth, I'm going to turn this program over to you, and I'll come back with more if anybody has any questions.
That sounds great. Thank you, Ashok. So it's my pleasure to kick off the conversation with our three esteemed fellows, Bethany, Buffy, and Michael. So what I'm going to do, I'm looking at the time here. I think we have plenty of time to go through all of these questions. What I'm going to do is have all three of them answer the first question, because I think that's going to be very interesting. So how did you hear about the CCPI STEM Fellows program?
Well,
do we just want to go order the names? Sorry.
No, go ahead, Buffy.
A woman that I work with, she knew that I was really involved with NSF ATIPs, and she received the email from someone and forwarded it to me. And she said, "Hey, I don't know if you've heard of this, but it sounds like something you might be interested in." And I sure was. So it was just a random email from a colleague.
Excellent. Okay, Michael, how about you?
Kind of along the same lines. So I'm a professor in biotechnology, Solano Community College. We offer a bachelor of science degree. We have another community college that offers pretty much the same program, a different approach in the curriculum. So one of them knew about the opportunity, and they knew that, and in our conversations, they knew I was pursuing a doctorate, and connected me. I'm grateful that it's here. So thank you.
Thank goodness for colleagues, huh? Bethany.
Hi. Bethany Sansing-Helton, math faculty. So I received it in an email blessed from the League of Innovation. I'm just looking through my old emails last June. And then a colleague of mine actually forwarded it to me and said, this made me think of you. And so that actually is what made me think of actually applying was having a colleague say that she thought it might be a good fit for me. So I did get the notifications from the league like three times, but it was really my colleagues like forwarding it, even though I'd seen it, that really sort of pushed me over the edge.
So it's three for three, those colleagues. Awesome. So I'm going to stay with you, Bethany, and ask you the second question. Why did you decide to apply after your colleague kind of kept needling you to apply?
So basically, there were a couple things about it that made me really apply. One is I was really interested in the mentoring opportunity with a community college president. I've been at my community college for 13 years, and I felt like having a mentor in that leadership space would be really helpful. Also, I really appreciated the expectations of the fellows. Two of them specifically that I thought really spoke to me is that we're expected to, I'm just reading it because I pasted it from your presentation earlier, but we're expected to present our research findings and publish our results and share with the broader community. And I really want to do that. And it's helpful to have a structure that supports that. And so I saw this as a possible structure for supporting disseminating the work that I'm doing. And then also the idea of acting as an ambassador for the ATE program. I felt like I would enjoy having that opportunity to do that.
Wonderful. Okay, Michael, how about you?
Well, I think the way I look at it, or my approach to my journey of life, is really focusing on how do I help serve our community? How do I help make sure that youth have better opportunities for, you know, to live their American dream as well? And so I apply because one of my gaps I find is part of it's like organization or how to keep focused on addressing the different issues within my practice as a professor, but also in the community. So I'm also a city council member, and that adds an added level of complexity to it all. So actually, like right now, I'm supposed to be in this other meeting, but I'm like, I got something else to do. But so I attend University of Southern California. I know most grad schools are very expensive. The stipend, it absolutely helps buffer that. I'm not, like many folks, I'm not from a well-off background. And so that helps me be able to help out my, family and give back to my community. And then on top of that, the mentorship, that was something that's really key, just getting different perspectives. I mean, just right now with answer number one, we learned about the power of network and how we all work together towards a common cause, which is to create a better world. And so just the way it was formed, the mentorship, the funding, and then having opportunities to really fulfill my aspirations is which is to take my experience, my knowledge, work with others to create a better world for others through education and workforce development.
Excellent, excellent. Buffy, why did you decide to apply?
Well, for a lot of the reasons that Bethany and Michael said, I too was very interested in the mentoring that was provided. I come from a natural science background and feel really confident in that kind of research. But behavioral science, higher ed, I wasn't even sure like how to focus or how to frame a research question that didn't have to do with statistics or a lab. So that has already been very helpful. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little while. Also, I was already involved in the ATE community. I am a PI on an ATE grant. Actually, I've just closed that. And I had a mentorship through that program. And the ATE community has just really changed my professional and personal life. And so being able to, remain a part of that after my own grant is over, but to become an ambassador, as Bethany mentioned, and to be able to share what ATE was able to do for me and my institution with other folks, just to get that word out. So that was also a really big part of my application. And also, as Michael said, the stipend is generous, and it really helps. You know, I'm still paying off my original student loans, and I really wanted to pursue a doctorate, but I knew that I could not borrow another dime. So that was also a reason. So I echo what Bethany and Michael said.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to stay with you, Buffy, and can you describe your research? And if you have any presentations planned or publication, just share with us what you're doing in this space.
Sure. Well, I've just completed, like yesterday, my first or my second semester of my doctoral program. So this summer is when I'm really going to be deciding on the actual topic. And when I first applied, I really thought my focus was going to be on how using micro-credentials as it relates to especially STEM and workforce education in the form of like badges or other kind of really like nano-credentials, how that could perhaps help recruit and retain especially women in some of these fields. As I've been talking with my mentor, I may shift that a bit to talk about partnerships. So like partnerships between the community college, a four-year institution, and business and industry. So I'm not quite sure yet. I'm still very early in the process, but I feel like with my mentor, I'm going to have some really good direction. So if y'all are worried about applying and you don't have your research focus, I've been told that that's okay. So I am learning and growing in this position.
That's a great tip. Great tip. And all good research changes, right? You have your one idea. I think when I went for my doctoral dissertation, I think it took me 3 tries before I landed on what I wanted to do. So I'm glad to hear that you don't have it cemented. So, and that your mentor is really helping you in that process. Okay, we're going to move to Bethany. How about you? Can you describe your research area and if you have anything planned for presentations or publications?
Sure. So, my experience with ATE in the past was I was a senior personnel on a ATE grant called Contextualized to Learn. The PI on that grant is Dr. Julie Wong and at UW-Madison, and she's my advisor now. That experience, I led professional development to help faculty contextualize math for technical education students. I was originally going to do my research in the similar area to Dr. Wong. She does a lot on STEM momentum. But like you said, things change. And so my focus actually, which is still really informed by that experience on the Contextualized to Learn grant, is on understanding STEM faculty's use of data to address racial equity in the classroom. And so I'm building a survey. I still have a lot of work to do before I actually finalize my research question down to something that's like an actual research question and not just a broad topic. It still feels like a broad topic. I did a roundtable at the Council for the Study of Community Colleges annual meeting. I actually saw Dr. Bragg there in April. So to get some feedback on the pilot of the survey that I did the pilot at my college in the fall. And moving forward in that direction.
Wonderful. That sounds good. And again, you mentioned your mentor, which is very good. And I know Dr. Bragg.
Actually, no. So Shuli is my advisor at UW-Madison. I forgot to mention my mentor. Thank you. That's the next question, though. So I will wait until that question.
Who was your advisor? Sorry about that. Okay. Last but not least, Michael, what do you have planned? What's your research?
So I think it's important for those who may be not familiar with the doctorate. I too am in, I just finished yesterday, my second semester of my first year. And depending on how each doctorate program has it set up, it's going to be a little vary. So like number one, if you don't, when we had to answer, put in our application, what's our research, I think it's okay to, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're just those who are evaluating the applications, you're just looking to see like where's your focus and where you're looking, you know, what are you working towards? So in that sense, I'm trying to combine my efforts that are both an educator, so in biotech or workforce development, in collaboration with our city's local efforts and initiative to bring in more biomanufacturing plants to our area. And so to me, that also ties into helping us address inequities. So the study is really looking at effective or productive partnerships between K-12 systems, possibly CCs. So you can just call that K-14. I need to focus it a little bit more, but how do we set up these partnerships between our education system and our local governing agencies to support a diverse STEM workforce? I would love I'm in the process. I would love to be ready to present in the annual conference in October. That would just kind of gear more towards my continued efforts that I have conducting different outreach in, more quote unquote disadvantaged communities, and how there's more effective approaches in engaging and inspiring youth that STEM can be for them. And so I can talk about that for a while, but I'm gonna stop right there. So thank you.
We like passion, Michael. We like that. Okay, we're gonna stay with you, Michael, and I'm looking at the clock. So we're gonna do a 2-for-1 here. We're gonna tackle the last two questions. So Michael, how do you like being part of the first cohort? And what advice would you give someone considering who's applying for the program?
Answering those in reverse, advice to apply for the program. So number one, don't overthink it. I know, just looking at the numbers, like, hey, how do I be a part of the top, 5, 6 or whatnot? Always you want to put out some type of quality work, but, Ashok laid out, very well what the objectives are and what the goals are. And I think when you're able to demonstrate that in your application, demonstrate that through your work, through your commitment, I think it's something that in itself will convey, convey that throughout that process. One of the strengths through that, so assuming that you're, getting it, if maybe not now, maybe in the future, depending on how things go, I think we're all familiar with that. The mentorship component is key. So unfortunately, I'm in a transition period. Unfortunately, my mentor, outstanding, very well esteemed gentleman, respectively has some health issues, so totally understand that. We always got to make sure we take care of ourselves, our own well-being. But in there, it's interesting too, because I love to have different inputs from different fields. In biotechnology, it absolutely requires different inputs, and there's different approaches to support that particular industry, and it's going in all these different directions now. So to me, like having somebody that's not necessarily tied to biotech, but the skill sets and organizational skills and how to frame presentations, how to keep my crazy brain focused, that in itself to me is very valuable. And then obviously, those mentors also have their own network that make, connections to other folks that they couldn't, that I normally wouldn't otherwise have. So overall, it's been a really good experience.
Great. Okay, Bethany, 2-for-1.
Okay. So I really enjoyed being part of the first cohort of fellows. It's neat to get to know everyone. I'm actually really looking forward to meeting all the fellows at the ATEPI meeting in October. I think that's going to really help connect us. One of the fellows, maybe it's Buffy actually, that got us into GroupMe right away. And so that's been really great. I have been connected with Dr. Marcia Pfeiffer, the retired president from St. Louis Community College, and my college is part of Achieving the Dream. And so this year was the first year I went to the Dream Conference in person. So I actually got to meet her in person at the conference. And so that was really fantastic. She gave me some great advice at the conference. And then we checked in again a month later and talked about just helping me navigate where I am with my PhD program while working as a full-time faculty member and thinking ahead to when things are done. So she's been incredibly helpful. And the advice for to give to someone considering applying is just do it.
Nice and simple. I like that. Just do it. And like Michael said, don't overthink it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Buffy, bring us home.
Well, as far as how do I like being a part of it? Oh my gosh, it is amazing. Because, okay, so I always thought that NSF was like the pinnacle of everything sciencey and nerdy and that I hold dear, everything. I always wanted to be a part of NSF. And then when I became a PI, I just couldn't believe it. And then now that I have a fellowship through ATE, it is amazing. So I feel very fancy and like a princess sometimes. As I mentioned, I love having a mentor. I have several in different parts of my life and I find it amazing. And so for what advice? Echo everybody else, just do it. Just if you've got compassion for other people or if you've got passion about your own work in a community college, just apply. It's awesome.
Excellent. Thank you. And we made it. It's only 1:44. So let me open it up for questions. Any questions for our fellows? Let's start with those questions before we ask Ashok any questions about the program. So any questions for Michael or Bethany or Buffy? Just throw it in the chat. Okay, anybody?
By the way, I want to have business cards printed up that just say Buffy Quinn, CCPI, STEM Fellow.
We can do that.
And just hand them.
No questions for our esteemed fellows, our inspiring fellows here. Okay, any questions about anything?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hi, colleagues. I came in late to the call. My name's Tina Jackson. I'm Assistant Commissioner of Workforce Education at the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. And my background is in STEM. I've done a lot of STEM research. Just wanted to know how I could be supportive. This is awesome. I love what I'm hearing, and I was only able to hear the second half of the session. So I definitely just wanted to let you all know that I think you're doing great work. And if there's a way that you need more mentors or more support as far as folks who really believe in STEM, and definitely throughout my career, I've tried to do that work at the community college level. So just glad to be here and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for joining. Go ahead, George.
Do you have your contact information in the chat?
So we sure. Sure, I can do that.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or questions? We can be informal and just come off mute instead of throwing anything in the chat.
Beth, one quick comment. No one asked exactly how much is the honorarium, what exactly is a dollar amount and so on. So I think maybe we should go ahead and mention that also. Honorarium is $5,000 per year. And if it continues for the second year, you'll get second year also $5,000. And as Buffy and Michael mentioned, even that is a lot of help.
To pay off that doctoral program.
Yes.
I that actually was also something for me too. So many reasons, but yes, it definitely helps having that with the doctoral program. It's expensive. And so it's really helpful. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll go back to NSF ATE and ask for a little more next go round, Ashok, since
yes.
We'll be so successful with this program.
That'll be great.
What I put in the chat is a link to where the slides for this presentation will be And what we also do is if you go to that webpage, you'll see prior webcasts that we have done. You'll see video and audio webcasts. You'll see audio only podcasts, and you'll see these presentations. Any other questions? I'm going to launch a poll. If you could take a few minutes to answer that, that would be great. And while you're answering that, I'm going to also put some links in the chat. We would love for you to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. So I'm going to take a moment to put those in the chat.
And while you're doing that, Beth, I will just remind everyone again, July 15th is the deadline. And as I mentioned earlier, application process for step one is very simple. It shouldn't take more than 15 minutes, 20 minutes. If you didn't, then you work right early enough. So please do apply.
Yep, and you can connect with us on LinkedIn. I'm putting that in the chat right now. And we, so this concludes our SIPPI cast series till the summer. We'll pick up again in the fall. We'll have another, you know, year of SIPPI cast. They've been well attended. I think we have someone who has attended all five of them. So we're really excited. We have a SIPPI fan follower. And we'll be back on track probably in September or October. So don't miss our next SIPPI cast. All right. Any other questions or comments? Anybody want to just come off mute? Yolanda? Oh, I get to see you, Yolanda.
Yes, I have a new laptop. So yeah, it's working today. I was wondering, I am actually at the end of my doctoral program. So are you looking for someone who is just starting enrolling in the fall, or would that apply to someone who's ABD as well?
Ashok, do you want to handle that one?
I would say that depending upon where exactly, how close you are, I would encourage you to go ahead and apply and let us discuss to see in our leadership team to exactly how that fits in with, you know, the number of applicants we have and all of that.
Thank you.
I just shared the poll results. I closed it and I shared it. So if anybody's interested in seeing those results, they should be in front of you. Any other questions or comments? I know we're technically 5 minutes over, but we're happy to stay on, right, Ashok?
Yes.
If anybody needs to leave, that's fine, but we're here. We're here for you. Happy to answer questions.
Thanks so much for the invitation. I have a 1 p.m. meeting, but it was nice listening in, and I look forward to being supportive.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jackson. Have a good weekend.
Good weekend, colleagues.
Thank you.
How about the fellows? Any like words of wisdom? Or Bethany needs to take off. Okay, Bethany. See ya. Buffy or Michael, any words of wisdom? Oh.
I'm happy my second semester's over. That's all. I'm just going to die relief. Oh my goodness.
Well, I teach in a graduate program and I just finished my grades 2 hours before I jumped on. So I am also very happy from the professor side of things.
Yeah, this semester was the law of higher education and it was a doozy, but I think I did okay.
If I ever need to know, I know who to come to. I never took a course in that.
Well, you know, now that I've had one semester of law, I am an expert.
Of course.
In all things legal.
That's right. A little bit of knowledge. What do they say? Exactly. Dangerous.
Mm-hmm. My only advice is don't take on new roles. And if somebody says, hey, you take this assignment on, you'll give you release time, give you more flexibility in your schedule, and it has to do with something that's controversial at your college, probably stay away from that. So I'll just put it like that.
It sounds like sage advice. Sounds like born of experience. Okay. Anybody else?
And just to clarify, that's while you're studying for your doctorate. Take on those challenges after, so that way you can balance everything else better.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to officially close this SIPPYcast on a unique opportunity, the CCPI STEM Fellows Program.